Blog Talk Radio.
Closed radio show with your hosts Joanne Barton and me, John Riccio. How's everybody doing out there tonight?
Nice, nice. Thanks, John. How are you doing today? How are
good.
You?
Good. How's everything going? Everything's good.
Good. Good. Okay, before we start the show, I'd just like to say welcome Diane Renee. We're going to bring her on in a second. And we'd like to thank our sponsors. They're coming in like crazy. But right now, we're updating it. Right now, we have the Hive Bar and Bistro in, oh, my God, I want to say Glenwater because it's not, and I'm sorry, one moment. Oh, geez, it's been a crazy day. The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, 142 Outwater Lane. Delicious food, cool place. You'll really like it. We also have Catskill Provisions. They're wonderful. They have honey. They make wine, not wine, whiskey, honey and syrup. And of course, our stay with us from the get-go, KWB Wines from South Africa. So, hi, welcome to the show, Diane Renee. How'd you like that intro?
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, gets you all excited, right? Gets me excited.
Yes.
So, folks, we have with us Diane Renee. Her most famous hit was Navy Blue. Navy Blue. And John has a little story about Navy Blue, whenever he wants to jump in and share it. And
well,
I wanted to ask you, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to tell
John.
Diane that I had that on a 45 way back when, I guess maybe middle 60s or whatever. And we bought there's a record shop in town where we lived, and, you know, 45s, I think, were going for like 79 cents at the time. So we bought a couple of 45s, and that was one of them. And I think I played it hundreds of times until it wore out. And I remember it till this day. And just recently, I guess a couple of weeks ago, before I even know she was coming on, I downloaded the song, and it's on my iPod favorite music section because I remember every word to
it.
It's amazing.
Very cool. Very
cool.
Wow,
that's nice.
Yeah, very cool. So I want to ask you, you started very young. Your father was, I believe, in the jewelry business. So were you being primed for the jewelry business, or did you always want to be a singer? And
no, I started singing from the time I was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to sing, be a singer. So by the time I was 12, my parents sent me to take some singing lessons with a very well-known singing teacher, Artie Singer, in Philadelphia.
Nice.
And Artie produced Danny and the Juniors. I think he might have even written the song at the Hop. I'm not sure.
Right, right.
But he
Bobby Rydell. I think he did Bobby Rydell as well, right?
Yeah, Bobby Rydell. Uh-huh. I think Frankie Avalon. Anyway, one day when I was up there having a lesson, I was 12 years old, he stopped and he says to me, "You know, when you get a little older, you should cut a record." Well, that's all I needed to hear. I ran.
And how old were you? I'm sorry, how old were you when he said that?
I was 12.
Oh, wow.
And he told me when I get a little bit older, then I should cut a record.
Right.
So I ran back to my father's jewelry store, which was in Philadelphia, about 12 blocks away from Artie Singer's studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my parents what Artie Singer said, and I basically drove them crazy for a long time. So when I was about 14 or 15, my father had a very good customer who was the first cousin of the well-known record producer, Pete DeAngelis, who lived in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So my father asked his customer if he could arrange for me to meet Pete DeAngelis and sing for him to see if I had the talent to pursue a record career.
Right, right.
So the meeting was set up, and one Sunday afternoon, my parents drove from Philadelphia to New Jersey, and we went to Pete's house, and he sat down and started playing some standards at the piano, and I sang.
Mm, cool.
And he turned around, he said to my parents, "She really has a good voice, and I think I can get her a record contract."
Mm.
So when that happened, he went to Atco Records, which was a subsidiary of Atlantic.
Yep, yep.
And he got me a record contract, and he was my first record producer. I sang the song, the old song, Little White Lies, was my first single release.
Right.
And after
you had a few singles released before Navy Blue took off.
Yes, yes. Little White Lies was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So after that session, Atco decided to call in record producer Bob Crewe, who was producing and writing for the Four Seasons and many, many other big artists.
Yes, good people.
Yeah, to produce the session for me.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob and his writers, they wrote a song for me called Tender.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in the studio, and I sang the song, and it was released as a single. And it did okay here and there around the country, but it wasn't enough for Atco to want to renew my contract.
Mm.
So they let me go.
Wow.
So at that point, Bob Crewe says to my father, "Eddie, I'd like to put Diane under contract to myself. I really think she can be successful, and I can do good for her." So I signed a contract with Bob Crewe, and the first record session that I did with him, we went in the studio and recorded three songs, and the last song, which was just a little simple throwaway song, was Navy Blue.
No, funny, so the throwaway, right? Oh, it was on the B-side.
Throwaway song, Navy Blue.
It was on the B-side, right? It was the B-side.
That was the B-side. The A-side was called Unbelievable Guy. So he released the record. And I think it was a disc jockey up in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm not sure what his name was. But he flipped the record and started to play Navy Blue. And it took off like wildfire.
Excellent.
So that's how it happened. And I was still in high school. And I came home one day, and the phone rings, and it's Bob Crewe. And he says to me, "I have to tell you something. Sit down." I said, "What?" He says, "You have a hit record, and it's Navy Blue." I couldn't believe it. It was just, it just seemed like unreal.
Amazing. And how old were you still in high school when this happened?
I was just turning 18.
And how were you treated in school at this time? Were the kids, were they jealous or they seemed standoffish?
Nobody talked to me.
It's probably the jealousy or scared at the time.
Yeah, I think you got the first one right, because I used to walk down the halls and the kids would all gather in little groups from one side to the other, and they'd be whispering amongst themselves and looking at me. So I knew they were talking about me, and it was very uncomfortable for me.
Sure.
I was very happy when I finally graduated high school.
Right, right, right. Well, you worked with some amazing people. I mean, my God, you worked with, like you said, you worked with Phil, you worked with Bob Crewe. I mean, Bob Crewe, he wrote a lot, and Jerry Wexler, too, right?
Yes, very
good. Those are some amazing people to work with. I mean, if you couldn't get a hit out of those guys, you got a problem, right?
Right. That's
But I love how the stories go when they're people send, not people, but when the labels send in records and they wind up picking the B-sides, and the B-sides what takes off. So I love those stories. I do. I really do. So now, let's see. You also Now, in your opinion, what do you think was the hit? So, was it Navy Blue, or was it the song that had the
Personally, I like the A side, Unbelievable Guy.
Right.
You know, but you can't argue with the hit record.
No, exactly. But I know the Unbelievable, that was sort of like a Phil Spector-ish kind of thing.
It was a Phil Spector type of a song, yes.
Right.
It had that same rhythm to it.
Now, did you come before Leslie Gore, or was Leslie Gore first?
You know, I think it was all around the same time.
Yeah,
I really don't know.
Yeah, it was that
sound.
Now, also, you could have had a number one. Could have had a number one, but you were knocked down by,
ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles. Yeah. And you know what? When the Beatles came to the United States and they were going to go on tour, they needed a female artist to open up the tour show for them. So I was with William Morris Agency, and my agent said to me, listen, the Beatles would like to have you go on tour with them, but I have to tell you something. No matter who goes on tour and opens the show, the kids are all going to scream, we want the Beatles to your entire act. So if it's going to make you feel upset, maybe you should think about where you want to go or not. So I decided not to go because there was just no way that I would not have gotten upset about it.
Right.
So I think they got an English singer. I think it might have been Cilla Black. I'm not sure.
Mm. Where did the last name Renee come from? Because that's not your real last name.
No, my first name is Renee. And my second name is Diane.
Right. Okay. But spelt differently, too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's see. Oh, if anybody wants to give Diane a call, please give us a call, 646-478-0999. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sure Diane would too. And also, you did Shindig. You did, did you do Dick Clark?
I did Dick Clark when he was out in Hollywood.
Nice. What do you think made so many people from Philly it's so weird, the guests we've had on, they've either had a major crop in Brooklyn or the Bronx, and there were so many singers there. And then we got Philly, we actually have Ohio, where all these people came out of, and Chicago. What do you think gave Philly that extra thing that made so many famous people come out of there?
Honestly, I really don't know. It just was what it was.
Right, it was just a time, you know, at the time, I guess. Now, oh my goodness, are you still in the industry?
No, I don't perform anymore. I haven't for a long time. I work with my husband. He's a professional inventor, musician, and he's an author. He just recently wrote a book called Behind the Staircase, which is four paranormal stories. Very scary book.
Oh, cool. Is it based on two stories?
Four stories in the one book, Behind the Staircase. And we're going to come out with one of the short stories by itself because it got so much attention. It's called Crescent Hills. It's really scary.
Mm.
So we're working on that now.
John, you'll have to look into that. John is a movie director of horror films, yeah. He's a movie director of horror films, so he's totally
We've been looking for someone in the movies that might be interested in looking at Crescent Hills because it would make a great movie.
Well, there you go, guys. You guys need to talk.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look.
Definitely.
Have to take a look.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like a plan. And
Hey, Joanne.
Excuse me, John.
Hold on,
John. Yes.
Yeah, if you might be interested to want to read the story, you could send me an email to Miss Diane Renee at AOL.com, or I have a Facebook.
Okay, I'll message you on Facebook.
Give me your address, and I'll send you the book.
Also, I have your number.
Excellent.
I can give it to John as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Hey,
Joanne, can I add?
Yes.
Hey, Joanne, before we continue, could I ask you, Joanne, are you touching your microphone? Do you have your microphone on your desk? Because I'm picking up a lot of papers moving around and everything, and it's distorting everything.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, if you can just quit that, that would be great.
Yeah, I apologize, guys. It's been a crazy day today. I apologize to you, Diane. Well, God, wholeheartedly. It's just been a crazy day, and I've been trying to get everything together. I will be more quiet, John. Sorry.
Yeah, just be more quiet or talking to the telephone.
I'm going to be
punished.
Okay,
good.
Oh, God. So what did your husband invent, Diane?
He has a whole line of diagnostic automotive tools that have been selling around the world for the last 30 years.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah,
he's very
creative, and he's a professional musician as well. He plays guitar. He's fabulous.
Wow, very nice. Nice. John's a guitarist as well, too. So now you did in sorry about the papers. I got to move the papers. John's going to hate me today. So in you actually, in 1990, you released the recording as well. And in 88, I was surprised to read this, that there was a disco version released of Navy Blue.
Yeah, I did Navy Blue in a dance version.
Cool.
Dance,
I got to check that
version.
Out. And what'd you think of that?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was really good. You know, it was different. I mean, it was still the song, but it's on my double CD, Diane Renee Sings Some Things Old and Some Things New.
Mm.
And I did a couple of club dates with it, and everybody was dancing. They all loved the song.
Cool. Well, what do you think made the song take off in the 60s? Do you think it's because of the war coming up? And what do you think blew it up?
I don't know. It was just one of those things, you know, how the song was written. I was up in the mountains with my parents on a vacation in the summer, and Bob Crew's office called me up and said, you got to come in, we're writing some songs for your session and we need to get your keys. So I took a bus and I went to his office, and I walk in the room, and Eddie Rambo and Bud Rehack are sitting at the piano. They were a couple of his writers. And Bob's pacing back and forth on the floor, and they start pounding out on the piano, dum, da dum, dum, da dum.
Mm.
Bob says, I got this title in my head, Navy Blue, Navy Blue. What can we do with Navy Blue?
Mm.
And they wrote, when they got onto it, they wrote the song in 20 minutes. I was there when they wrote it.
Right. Well, I would think the reason that it took off, me personally, because, you know, girls were having to say goodbye to their guys going off to the Navy, the Army, whatever. And,
right.
You know, that's what made it take off at the time. Now, I don't know if you know, but Mel Carter is our next guest. And you also did a remake of Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me.
Yes, that's also on my double CD.
Right.
The version.
I got to hear your version of it. I love his. I'm a big fan of his as well, and you as well. So I wonder, what is this this Jersey girl? Did she kind of blow the song up for you in a way? A Jersey girl? Did she blow the song up for you in some way?
I don't know what you're referring to.
No,
I don't know
me
any
either.
Jersey girl.
I saw something that said Jersey girl, and I was surprised because you're from Philly. Oh, and also...
Oh, you know what? That might be a website of a friend of mine, Ronnie Allen. He's got a website called Jersey Girls.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a lot of artists on there from the East Coast, New Jersey, and he has me on there, and we're very good friends. I've been friends with him for the last 16, 17 years.
Wow.
Ronnie was a disc jockey for many, many years, and... Did he put my stuff up there? I don't know. That's all I know.
And that's all we care about. I wanted to ask you, when you did Shindig, I hope I'm correct on this, you obviously thought you were going to sing Navy Blue or Kiss Me Sailor, but they asked you to sing Dum Dum, a Brenda Lee hit. Why
was
that? Why did they do that?
I don't know. It was really crazy because the producers of the show, when they contacted Bob Crew, they wanted me for the show, but they wanted me to sing the Brenda Lee song, Dum Dum. They didn't want me to sing my hit records, and which was really weird, but I
wanted
to the show anyway.
That is very weird.
Anyway. And by the way, On that show was Cher and Sonny Bono doing
"I
Got You, Babe."
Oh, wow, you did the same time. Cool.
Yeah.
And also, it was a young Billy Preston on the piano, right? Or on the organ?
Yeah, he was playing on piano or organ, yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's fantastic. So who are you still in touch with these days in the industry that are singers that you used to tour with and all that?
Actually, I'm not in touch with anybody, really. You know, once in a while I get, like, a message on my Facebook from a former producer, like Billy Terrell, Facebook me a few times. And Billy Terrell handled the Angels. My boyfriend's back.
Oh, yeah.
He did their music. And I went into the studio before I moved out to Las Vegas in the mid-'80s. I went into the studio in New York with Billy Terrell, and he produced a song called City Girl, which is on my double CD. And it's a real, real dance song. It's really great.
Cool. Now, you did also a performance in 2003 for a VFW convention for 9,000 veterans. Has Bob Hope ever had you on his shows?
No.
When he did his shows?
No.
That's weird. You would think he would have.
Yeah, I don't even know if Bob Hope was still doing that when Navy Blue became a hit.
I thought Bob Hope, didn't Bob Hope do those up until the 70s, early 70s? I don't know.
Really?
I could be wrong. And Ed Rambo, I think I'm actually friends with him on Facebook. I'm going to have to talk to him about you.
Yeah, Eddie wrote a lot of songs on my album. He wrote Navy Blue, Kiss Me Sailor. He was one of the writers. He co-wrote with Bob Crew and Bud Rehak. And he used to be an artist himself. He has the song Concrete and Clay.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Like I said, I believe we're friends on Facebook, so I need to talk to him and see if he's one in the same guy.
He has a radio show every Friday night online. My Little World, something like that. You could contact him. He has a Facebook.
Yeah, no, I think we're already friends on Facebook. I believe we are. Yeah, I'm friends with Ed Rambo, and he's always posting some really nice quotes. So I assume he's a writer. So
yeah, he is.
Yeah, so it must be the same guy. So after Navy Blue, after that, you just went and did a couple of CDs and put them out. No more performing other than the show and BFW.
I had a few other single releases after Navy Blue. Growing Up Too Fast, Watch Out Sally. The Company You Keep, quite a few singles, and they did okay on the charts, but nothing hit the top of the chart. But Navy Blue, it's pretty hard to follow a hit record. It's hard.
Yeah. Do you have any kids, Diane?
I have one daughter.
Whose footsteps does Heather follow in? Yours or your husband's, or neither?
No, she's an emergency room nurse, and she has a bridal accessory business online called Eden Lux Bridal. She sells all kinds of things for brides.
Nice.
Yeah.
So she didn't follow anybody.
Not in the music business.
Not at all. Did you know Leslie Gore personally or no?
I did one show with her, but I never really knew her.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just love her to death. She was. I'm so sad when she died. Did you ever like consider doing these tours that these guys are doing now? The Flower Power cruise, the Get Together tour. I mean, those are really popular.
Yeah. No way would I ever go back on the road. Do I ever want to travel and perform anymore? I'm happy being home with my husband and working with him.
No, that's good. That's good. But it's these guys, you know, it's amazing to me that they're still doing what they're doing, and they do it so well. And that's kind of why we do the show here, because, you know, all of you guys from that era deserve so much credit and for bringing us what you brought us, because without it, we wouldn't be listening to music that we're listening to today. Not that I like today's music, but, you know, it shaped and molded where we are now. And
it made memories.
Oh, memories. Just forget it. Forget it. You know, it's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me. So, John,
yes.
Do you still have navy blue? Do you still have your navy blue seat 45?
The 45 is gone, but I have it now in a digital copy forever.
Nice.
I think the 45 was, I think, worn out, so it probably wouldn't even play anymore.
Right. Well,
yeah, I put out the digital navy blue album with like other songs on there that were never released before, and it's called Navy Blue 25 Super Tracks. And
cool.
Yeah, you can download the songs, the whole thing, or just one at a time if you like. It's out there.
Now, I was going to ask you, where can they get it? iTunes?
Amazon has it. All of the music sites that sell music would have Navy Blue. You just have to put in my name, Diane Renee, and you'll probably see the Navy Blue 25 Super Tracks album and the double CD that I put out, Some Things Old and Some Things New. And I believe that you can listen to a little bit of each song.
Oh, you get to hear a little snippet of it before.
Yeah, you get a little snippet of each song.
Cool. And was Navy Blue shopped around to Nancy Sinatra before it got to you?
No, they wrote it for me.
Oh, distinctly for you.
Just for me.
Excellent. No, I saw something here that said it was, that she gave it a listen.
Nope. I was there when they wrote the song. They were writing songs
for
my session.
Cool. So
yeah.
is there anything you'd like to say to your fans out there after all these years since you haven't been out on stage?
Well, I would just like to thank everybody that bought my records, that it was a wonderful experience, and I'm glad that I could have made memories for many, many people that they can listen to my music today and take themselves back to a time where they were young and doing, they knew where they were and who they were with. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody. And
well,
I want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
And the same to you. But thank you for doing what you did, because without what you did, we wouldn't be talking about it today. And because I love all the oldies. I love all you guys. And I really, you know, we've got to get you guys out there again. Whether you want to get on stage or not, we got to get your music played. And I listen to Sirius, and I actually hear Navy Blue quite often.
Right.
Don't you remember me reaching out to you and saying, I heard your song today?
Wow.
So, yeah, I love it. I love it. But Diane, John, anything else for Diane before we bring Mel on?
Well, I just want to thank Diane for every time I listen to her, that song, Navy Blue. It brings me back to when I was a little kid and everything I did. It was a really happy time, and every time I hear the song, it makes me smile. So I just want to thank you, Diane.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Yes, and thank you very much. And thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honor. And I'm going to hook you and John up so the two of you could talk about your husband's movie. And after the show, I'll give John your information, and you guys can work that out amongst each other.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome.
It was a pleasure being on your show.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you, Diane. Happy holidays.
You take care. Happy holidays, hon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hi, John.
Hey, Joanne.
Well, Mr. Carter didn't give me a phone number to tell you where he'd be calling from, so I have no idea. I haven't heard from him since earlier today. He said we were a go, but I asked him for his number, so we knew it was him, and he didn't get back to me, so he said he will be on. But in the meantime, that's a fabulous thing that the two of you may be working together.
Yeah, that sounds
how
pretty
cool.
Cool. Horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, horror
it's
movies are good. I love horror movies.
And
yep.
Up your alley, paranormal too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you like that stuff. So I just want to apologize to our listeners and to Diane. I was not prepared tonight. I've just been nuts today. And I do apologize profusely for that. But at least my voice is back.
Your voice is back, but it was covered up by all the shuffling of the papers.
Well, at least you know. At least I know my microphone works well, right?
Yeah, we got to keep it off your desk, or
no, I know.
I was like, what the hell is that? Sounds like she's shoveling something.
Well, while we wait for Mel, let's just once again mention our sponsors, our wonderful sponsors. We have the Hive Bar and Bistro. 142 Atwater Lane, Garfield, New Jersey, for you Northeast folks. Absolutely delicious food, great drinks, cool little place, really neat. And you got to get there early because it's the calm before the swarm. So you got to get there before the calm before the swarm because they are hopping. And like I said, that food is delicious. I was going to go tomorrow, actually, for lunch, and they're closed on Mondays. So I was looking forward to bumping into them. And also Catskill Provisions. They make wine. No, I keep saying wine. I mean whiskey. They make whiskey, syrup, honey, and they're basically an artisanal crafting gift company. And perfect right now for Christmas if you want to check out their website. You can check out their website at catskillprovisions.com. Or our website, you can check our website for any of our sponsors for more information as well, since you're already on there listening to the show. So, and also KWB Wines out of South Africa, their wine is delicious, and they are inexpensively priced, but tastes like $1 million. You can't go wrong with this wine. It's so, so good. And what else is going on, John? We've got this week.
Well, people should really go to your Facebook page and check out a couple of the songs that you did that you posted. The songs, and they're really fantastic. And I think people should go there and check it out because, you know, we hear you now, and we don't realize that how talented you are, and that the songs you done were really, really catchy, and they should be out there, which I think we're going to put them up on our website, too, for sale pretty soon.
Oh, cool. Thank you, John. Well, believe it or not, they're very old. Well, the one song was crazy how that came about. I had no idea there was a Be Kind Day, National Be Kind Day, and I wrote that song maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I just threw it together, you know, because Ellen DeGeneres, I mean, she's just always so kind, giving away things, blah, blah, blah. So I thought it would be a good idea. It just motivated me, you know, and I just threw it together. And so I tried to send it to her, but I couldn't get it to the right people. So I just shelved it, you know, I just put it aside like most musicians do. And never thought of it again. And since it was Be Kind Day, I said, oh, let me pop it up and tell everybody to be kind today and every day. The sad thing is we have to teach people to be kind. But, you know, and everybody loved it. And believe it or not, a few people want to use it as a town motto or school motto where I grew up in Harrison, New Jersey. Don't know how that's going to pan out or what's going to happen with that. I got contact them either today or tomorrow. Someone was supposed to call me today, but I have an actual call tomorrow into the actual school system to discuss it. So that'd be pretty cool. And what else?
Tell them about the award you won too, Joanne.
Oh, yeah. My company, Magical Music Entertainment, which is responsible for the Applause Radio Show. Oh my God, it's been in business 30 years. And I just won an award for the best in 2019 in Clifton, New Jersey, which is where I reside now. I shouldn't tell people that, but that's where I reside now. But we just won that in 2019 for music composers and arrangers and Applause Radio Show. So that was pretty exciting. And this company's been around, oh my God, I think when I was a teenager, I started it. And it was basically a management company for other artists, myself, a record label, and I put records out under it. I've had other people put records out under it. And we also had, I spawned a subsidiary from it, MME Innovative Creations, and other stuff. And what that company does is takes products and introduces them to the market. So we haven't really touched on that in a while, but, you know, things have just been crazy. So, you know, one thing at a time. I can't have my hands in too much stuff at once. I'll go crazy. But, yeah, no, things are going great. Everything's good. Show's good. I love John. I love my guests. And we love you, listeners. And coming up Wednesday night, I'm excited, we have Mr. Ron Dante from the Archies. Ah, sugar. Honey, I can't wait to have him on. And also from the Cufflinks. You remember the Cufflinks, John?
Not really, no.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, yeah, the song. Yep.
Crazy
song, yeah.
When I'm with you, something you do bounces me off the ceiling. Now you're not going to get me to shut up. And we also have a gentleman I met, believe it or not, standing in line at Chiller Theater to see Tatum O'Neill. And his name is Frank Ania, and he is with Frank Ania. Oh, my papers. Yeah, you're going to hear papers because they fell on the floor.
Hey, Joanne, guess who's on the line? Guess who's on the line?
Mr.
Mel Carter. Hi, Mel.
Excellent.
Hi, how are you, man? Happy holidays.
Hi, Mel. Yay! Welcome to Applause Radio Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Cannot complain.
Good. I have to ask you something.
Sure.
Will you hold me, thrill me, when you do? And come on, Mel, do it for me, honey. I love it.
Same. I wish my arms were that long that I could reach you.
Your arm's too short for boxing, mate.
Right.
Well, Mel, thank you so much for joining us. I'm a big fan. I love the song, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me. And your career is just fabulous. And I'm so glad you came and discussed it with us. You look great, by the way. And I fell in love with you. I mean, I love you anyway. But I loved watching the PBS specials that you've taken part in. And with all the other bands, and everybody just sounds spot on and fabulous.
I love it.
Do you have any of those shows? Yeah, do you have any of those coming up?
No, we've done like I've done like four of them, and so,
yeah, I think I've seen all four.
I think one was just on, maybe a week or so ago.
Where do you perform? Where is the stage?
Well, one is in Pittsburgh. We did one in Kentucky and Tennessee, and then New Jersey.
I was going to say, there better be a New Jersey in there, because that's who's running the thing, isn't it? The guy from PBS, the Jersey kid. I forgot his name.
Right.
Yeah.
But
where
we did,
in Jersey
the
do you
first one that I did, we did in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. Where in Jersey do they hold that when they do it?
At the casino.
Down at casinos. Cool.
Yes.
Magic Moments, Doo-Wop 51. Oh, my God. There are so many of them. So, Mr. Carter, tell us about your how are you discovered? What's the story behind that? How old were you? Where were you?
You know what the funny thing about that is, I'm in the process of putting I knew I was going to forget the books that you put
together.
Oh, don't
worry. I'm very forgetful tonight, too. So don't worry.
No, I was trying to remember all the other the books that you put all of the little mementos.
Oh, the e-book. Oh, like a diary.
No.
A journal.
Scrapbook.
Scrapbook. There you go.
I feel like we're playing a game show. We're playing a game show here. scrapbook. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
scrapbook.
A scrapbook, and I saw there was a clipping that I saw when I was 19 years old, and I was signed up, and I remember the first guy that managed me in Cincinnati, Ohio, but it was in the Cincinnati Inquirer, and that's funny because we were talking about that, but I've been doing this since I'm like 4 or 5 years old, you know.
Yeah, your grandmother.
Not on the professional thing, but see, that you know, in church or in the youth choir, well.
And didn't your grandmother used to take you to the Penny Arcade to sing as well?
Yes. Yeah, my aunt.
Cool. Oh, your aunt. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
My aunt Dorothy. Yeah.
Nice. So you've been singing since you came out of the womb.
I guess so. It's a gift that God gave me.
I'm thankful
for it.
Yes, thank God for that. Because without it, we would have never got all the great hits that we've had. And it's like, almost 30 years ago, maybe longer, that Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me was aired, released, and it still stands. And it's still
1965.
Holds the test of time.
But there was one before that. And we're proud of When a Boy Falls in Love, written by Sam Cooke.
You met up with Sam Cooke, and he kind of like blew you up, right?
I knew Sam when we were in the gospel field, but I was in a gospel group too, and I met him in Chicago. Then when I came out west, the first label that I was with Doris Day. Doris Day's company, Arwen Records.
Nice. And Quincy Jones? Quincy Jones discovered you?
That came after.
After.
That was in 57, because I left Arwen Records and went to Mercury.
Cool.
Where Quincy was an A&R person.
Nice. Well, Quincy, we know his background.
How can I remember all of this and not remember a scrapbook?
Because you got too much other crap in your mind to think about a scrapbook. Now, you did the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars, and Sonny and Cher were on there, Tom and Jones. I mean, how did you wind up with all these English or, like, even not R&B singers?
It was during the period when the English invasion had was coming here.
The British invasion.
Everybody
that
was on the top of the charts were from England then.
At the time,
naturally,
right.
Dick Clark had to take us off. We were, you know, that was really, really a lot of fun. Every other night we slept in a hotel, but we were on the bus most of the time. Yeah.
Right. Was Cher a shy girl or no? That they
she
made
was,
her out to be.
Cher was just like another girl that was a part of the tour for us then, you know.
And were you also did Porgy and Bess? Did you have a role in Porgy and Bess?
I played Sport and Life. You know, got a chance to do that with the San Diego Symphony Orchestra and two of the very premier Sopranos then.
Very nice. And you also got a Grammy nom for the Best Male Gospel Performance and the NAACP Image Award. Do you actually have a Grammy mail or any awards from NAACP?
Yes, I have this certificate
and
stuff here. Sitting in the office now, looking up at them.
That's right. Don't take your eyes off of them. So you are a multi-talented gentleman, that's for sure.
Well, it starts where you know, back in those days when you had, first of all, when you had a single hit record, you immediately the company wanted to graduate you to an album artist. And then the next thing, if you got, you know, to be an album artist, they, you know, put you into little television things and little movie spots and like. So it gave you a chance to develop all of the creative, talent that you had, and I'm thankful for that, because I've done theater, I've done theater. I've done commercials. I've done film, TV.
Hello? Oh, there you go. Oh, we lost
yeah.
you. Now, Band of Gold, you did, is that the Frida Payne Band of Gold or a different version of something else?
No, no, that was one of the, I can remember, he was a golfer, and he had it first in the 50s, and can't remember his name, but it's another, it's da 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 ba 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 da 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 da
I like Frida Payne's version. I love her Band of Gold. That's for sure.
A totally different song.
Oh, I could hear it when you just hummed it there, sang it for us. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I love her. I love that song. But so now, how close are you with Quincy after all these years, or not at all?
We haven't spoken to each other in quite some time. That was, God, we go way back to...
to the beginning.
Way, way back in 1957.
Mm. Are you working on anything now that you're working on any new music or a re-release of anything right now?
Actually, I'm glad you asked me that. I'm finishing up a show that that Lenny Welch and myself were doing called the Legends of Rock and Roll, the Balladeers, and we did some of the excerpts from it at a casino in Vegas, and
nice.
There's some people, a producer now is interested in doing the whole show. So I've written. We have 9 songs, about 90 minutes of work, Lenny and I. And Lenny and I, we kind of, as a matter of fact, the title song is posted on YouTube, Lenny Welch and Mel Carter, and it's the Legends of Rock and Roll, the Balladeers.
Nice, nice, very good. And how other than that, how can people check you out? Your own website? I mean, is it MelCarter.com?
You can come to, if you want to, you can come to, we'd love to have you come to mel-carter.com. You can see samples, hear samples of the new music, see video cuts. You can also go to CD Baby and all of the distribution centers that you go order from.
So will you be touring anytime soon as well, or
hopefully?
No?
Hopefully, I'm looking forward to next year. We're looking forward to next year going out with the Legends of Rock and Roll, the Balladeers. Lenny,
right.
You know.
What you think? You think
so
you might
far.
Be doing the East Coast, or you have no idea?
I don't know yet.
Right.
I don't know yet, but you know, I just finished the other five songs. Just finished the other 5 songs for the show.
And anything new or just all remakes?
No, no. This is all new
no
material.
Way.
No.
And who's doing all the writing?
We some of the songs. No, I can't tell you the titles, but one
no,
of the
of
songs.
Course, but who's doing the writing? I mean, if it's all new, who's doing the writing?
I am.
You're writing them all yourself?
Yes.
Nice. Good for you. Congratulations. Great.
Well, that keeps you from going crazy, you know. So
well,
you,
yes,
you
it
know,
does.
Like, start doing something, and they're interested in it, and I say, well, okay,
that's a good thing.
Let me do this.
Yep, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So we
oh,
also
me.
Have...
Thrill me.
Also,
sorry.
All right. Okay. We also have a new anthem called Raise the World, Sing Louder
Ooh.
Than the Gun. You can hear, you can go to CD Baby and hear samples of that. But
nice.
Nice. I'm very, very proud of that particular song with the choral arrangement, and it touches on my gospel background, you know.
And does the song have any meaning towards all these shootings going on? I mean, what's the meaning behind it?
That and all the issues, you know, it has the climate change, the gun situation that's going on now. It addresses all levels of the song, but you know,
very
we can
nice.
All. We can all, maybe we may not all be able to talk together, but when we get together and there's music, we can all sing together. So we can sing
exactly.
And louder than that gun that
right.
You perpetrate on other
well,
people.
It's definitely needed, that's for sure. A
mm-hmm.
song like that is definitely needed. And this world is going crazy.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. Yes, it is. But if anybody would like to give Mel a call and talk to Mel, 646-478-0999. And I apologize, Mel. I just got my voice back, so you're the poor soul that has to hear me sing. So I can't help it. This song just pops into my head, and I got to get it out, or it'll be driving me nuts all night. It's driving me nuts. I just get those outbursts, you know. I call it Tourette's, but, you know, it's no cursing. Just it's music Tourette's.
I
can't help it. Yeah.
I hear you.
So is there anything else you'd like to share with us and your fans and our listeners about what's going on these days other than the rock legends ballads?
The writing that I'm doing and the new single, Raise the World, Sing Louder Than the Gun.
I can't wait to hear that.
Just, you know, I'm one of those guys that when you do come to the site, all right, and like I'm subject to pick up, you know, a phone number and call that person, or, you know, from time to time I do that, you know.
Well, you've been very kind to me, so I thank you for that.
Oh, well, no. Without you, there is no me.
Well, without you, there is no me. How's that?
Okay. Well, then that makes us tighter together.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, I mean, I grew up on your music. I mean, I was a baby at the time, but that's all that played in my house and forever in my house, and that's why I'm so addicted to it. And love it, and has a major effect on my songwriting as well. I'm also a singer-songwriter, and my last CD was very, I don't want to say 60s, 70s-ish sounding. I mean, I did try to go that way, and but it's hard not to when you've been brought up on it. It's in your blood, you
right.
know, and you can't get it out. You just can't get it out. But without people like you, I don't know if I would ever been a musician or a singer or a songwriter. I mean, because songs like Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me, if that doesn't make you outburst like I do, then I don't know. I think there's something wrong with you.
I think
there's something wrong with me, but.
No. Well, I'm lucky to have
a
signature song like that.
Yes, you
well,
are.
I just wanted
it's
to,
a wonderful song.
I wanted to tell Mel that Mel's songs are timeless. You know, another 60
yes.
years from now, they'll still be playing them, whereas the songs
exactly.
of today, they'll be here 1 week and you'll never hear about that person ever again.
Exactly.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mel's songs, they're part of everyone's life, and they're just
right.
that the magic of the song will continue forever.
Yes,
let me
they are
let,
all timeless.
Let me tell you something else connected with the song. Okay, that was Nick DeCaro, and I'm sure you know he's went on and did loads and loads of stuff after that. But it was his first writing assignment.
Wow.
When they put us together, okay, it has one of the most famous string sweeps when it first starts off. You know
mm-hmm.
immediately that that's that song.
Right,
and
exactly.
For him, his first writing assignment, that shows
amazing.
You what a genius he was, you know?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, absolutely. So, pardon me, I'm just getting over a bad battle of laryngitis and, polyps on the vocal cords. So, any tips for me?
Do
no?
What do you take? What are you taking?
Well, I have severe rheumatitis, GERD, which is eating my esophagus, and the polyps on the vocal cord. So right now I'm just taking stuff for the GERD and some nasal spray for the rhinitis, rhinitis, whatever it is. And we're going to do a biopsy on the vocal cord. So we'll see what's up with that. Yeah. So I've already accepted that I moved on, that I may never be able to sing again. It's fine, but, you know, it's devastating. However, to not be able to talk is another story, you know. So I was in that state for like 3 months, right, John? I couldn't speak for 3 months.
Yeah.
And here I am doing the show. I'm yelling onto the mic, and you wouldn't even know I was yelling. And still nothing was, it was horrible, horrible, horrible. It was horrible. So
Mel,
I'm just so glad.
Mel, can I ask Mel a question? How do you keep your voice so smooth?
Yeah.
It sounds so smooth, your voice.
Give me some tips.
I guess
what's
maybe it's just the one of the things is the vocal exercise that I do, and I got this from a speech teacher, you know, and there's a series of things that you do. Ten. First of all, it's like you're clearing
the scale.
Your throat.
Just doing the scale, or
no. It's not a scale. It's like a teacher, you know, when you speak. Like it
because
had speaking engagement. It has
they
had
want me to,
nothing
yeah,
to do had nothing to do with the singing part, but the vocal exercises are for people who do speaking engagements. What they do is it's like the vocal cords are like muscles in your body, and if you don't address those, and first of all, when you gotta warm up before you sing.
Right.
You gotta warm up, and you don't have to do, you know, the scales. But this exercise is, you know, it's like you cough, you know, like you're clearing your throat. That's the beginning, and then it's then you do that on 1, 2, three, may, and you overemphasize the formation of a letter. You know, each time you say A E I O U, and that's with a M, may, then Z Z, ni, zim zim, and all of those letters with the A E I O U clears up that whole area.
Yeah, because I also have a strained vocal cord, and they want me to do speech lessons as well.
Yeah, but that's better in a warm up than doing those things.
Right, the scales, right. Yeah, because they wanted me to do speech therapy, and I'm like, I don't know if I need speech therapy. I guess to talk, but. We canceled that doctor's appointment right now, so I'm going with somebody who's going more aggressive that wants to do the biopsy, do this, that, and the other thing. The other guy, he just wants to do the speech therapy, and I'm like, no, I got to find out what's wrong here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, would I be asking too much to ask you to give a burst of Hold Me, Throw Me, Kiss Me?
I won't give a verse. I'll give you this.
Just that part.
Wait. They told me, be sensible with your new love. Don't be fooled, thinking this is the last you'll find. But they never stood in the dark with you, love. When you take me in your arms and drive me slowly out of my mind.
Oh, yes, go ahead one more time. Go ahead, hit it.
You know,
That's great.
Oh, thank you, Mel. Thank you so much.
Oh, Mel, thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's why we call it a little applause radio show. There you go. Thank you so much, Mel. Oh,
okay,
my
I can.
God.
Okay. Oh well, I can turn the tape off now, right?
Is it live or is it Memorex? Right?
Old school cassette.
Well. Mr. Carter, it was an absolute pleasure. I thank you so much. You were so kind, and I can't even tell you. I mean, you just gave me chills. Thank you so much for singing.
Yeah,
thank
great.
You.
And,
take
and,
care. You know, take care of yourself. And you know what? More than that, you know, I will say a prayer and and solicit that to prayers to all of us, because God can do anything but fail.
Right. Well, I can't wait to hear the new stuff, too. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be an impact to society right now, because we need it. And I'm sure it's a fabulous song, and I cannot wait to hear it. The one
Raise the World, Sing Louder Than the Gun. Go to CD Baby. Yep. You can hear the samples. If you want to see the Lenny Welch and myself, the Legends of Rock and Roll, the Balladeers, that's posted. The title song is posted on YouTube. And it's live, the band, everything. In this, we're in the studio, it's live. It's not tracked, you know?
Right. Now, guess what needs to come out? I'm sorry. Hold me. Hold me.
Oh, Joanne.
Kiss me. Yes. I'm sorry. Me too, but he led me there and he didn't finish it. And I can't help it. I suck. I had to get it out.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Mel. We really appreciate you coming on the show. It was fabulous talking with you.
Yes,
my pleasure.
Happy
holiday to you all.
You too, and all the best to you, sir. And thank you so much. And cannot wait to hear the song.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too,
thank
Mel.
You, Mel.
Take care. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
I sound that bad, John.
Oh, Joanne.
Come on.
Compared to Mel.
Oh, of course.
Mel
was compared
giving
to
me
Mel.
Goosebumps.
Oh, please, me too. But he led me on. I'm sorry, I had to finish it. I was in my head.
Well, you got almost a verse.
I know. Well, he gave us the verse, brought us to the bridge, and then left me hanging. You know. But anyway.
Well,
thank you,
the
guys.
The time has
come for
us to say goodnight.
Yes.
Time
we
has
had
come.
A wonderful show. Thank you so much to Diane Renee and to Mr. Mel Carter. It was a pleasure having you guys on. Thank you to our sponsors, Hive Bar and Bistro in, why can't I remember? I keep wanting to say Glen Ridge.
Garfield.
The Hive Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, 142 at Water Lane, and Catskill Provisions and KWV Wine. Coming up next week, however, we have Mr. Ron Dante from the Archies and the Cufflinks. I cannot wait to have him on. And a gentleman I bumped into by the name of Frank and Mia, and he has a new band out. Hold on. You're going to hear papers, folks, because I dropped them. Sorry. Where'd I go? I dropped them, dude. Bear with me, people. Sorry. Oh, yeah, yeah. Where is he? Here we go, Frank. I'm so sorry, honey. Here you go. We got Frank and Nia and the Crooked Hearts. Now, the reason we're having him on, not only is he a great guy, but he also has a hit song from the cartoon Teen Titans Go for all you younger crowd there, or you grandparents that have grandchildren that watch the show. He's got a hit song from there, and he actually plays in a cartoon band on the show. So I figured with Ron Dante with the Archies being animated, it would be a great show for Frank to join us as well, since he's into animation too. Well, not into it, but he's in animation. So that should be a fun show. But I am looking very forward to having both of them on. And I promise you next week will go a lot smoother with me. I'll be more prepared. Today was not a good night for me. Shuffling papers. I'll get yelled at later, I'm sure, and punished, but I might like it. No, I'm kidding.
All right. So
again,
it's time for us to
go. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure. Thank you to our listeners, our sponsors. Thank you, John, as always. Love you. Love you, all you guys. Join us Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Ron Dante of the Archies and Frank and Mia with the Crooked Hearts. At 8 p.m. Eastern on the 20th of November. And again, happy holidays to all you guys. who have not been tuning in live, we will hopefully hear from you soon. And on the 24th, we have a couple of guys from the band Boston coming in to discuss their holiday album. I don't want to say holiday, their Christmas album. Yes, Christmas album. They will be in on the 24th to discuss their new album that they have out. And can't wait to have those guys on too. So, John, thank you. Love you.
Okay.
Talk to you soon,
good night.
People. Have a good evening. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.